Happy Mother's Day to all of our dear mothers that are here today, and trust that the Lord is going to give you a blessed day and a special day today. And we love all of our mothers. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me once again to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. We're going to read verses 1 through 5 today. And I'll ask you, if you will, to stand in honor of God's word as we read these verses together. The Apostle Paul, writing his second epistle to the Thessalonians, he said, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified, just as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord concerning you, both that you do and will do the things we command. Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ." You may be seated. At the conclusion of the last sermon, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 2, I said the sad reality, because Paul's statement there was, not all have faith. Not all have faith in Jesus Christ for eternal life. Not all have faith that saves you. Not all have faith that makes you a child of God, and a faith that assures that you will have eternal life in heaven. And that truly is a sad reality. But Paul then goes on in verse 3 with these words, "But the Lord is faithful." So that is the subject of my sermon today. The Lord is faithful. I recognize that today is Mother's Day, and you came expecting to hear a Mother's Day sermon. However, I can't think of a better way to honor our mothers than to preach on the faithfulness of God. In fact, the Bible says that we are created in the image of God. I think that means that to some degree, we all have the ability to reflect the attributes and nature of God. Faithfulness is one of God's attributes. Both the Old and New Testaments are full of verses that declare the faithfulness of God. And there is no greater example in this world in which we live of faithfulness than in mothers and their relationship to their children. One translation of 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2 says, "Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful." And there is no greater trust that God gives than when a mother brings a new life into this world. Today we have dedicated Benjamin Dale and Jubilee Grace and Robert Jeffrey and Ella Josephine. And as they have come, brought them here, and Brother Robert has prayed the prayer of dedication over them, I feel confident in my heart, knowing these parents, that they have dedicated themselves to be the best and the most godly parents that they can to raise these children in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord. But there's one thing I think that is left out of the equation. You see, we are a church body. We are a church family. And I believe that as a church family, we have a responsibility to be involved in the life of these precious children. And so I would like to ask you to do something today. If you are willing, as a member of this church, a member of this family, to commit yourself to pray for, to support, to help guide and nurture in the Lord these four precious children, I would just like to ask you to raise your hand. Would you do that? And commit yourself to do that for these children. Now, these parents, Richard and Sophie and Donald and Melody and Christopher and Desiree and Matthew and Crystal, they will have to be the point people in guiding, in nurturing, in teaching, guiding their lives to know the Lord. But you and I can also have a vital and important part as we hold them up in prayer. And as the years go by, we have opportunity to input into their lives, to pray with them, to encourage them, to challenge them, that they can grow up to be the people who will be valiant soldiers for Jesus Christ. It is a daunting task to bring a child into this world today. Every day we hear nightmares, stories of young lives ending in tragedy because of alcohol, drugs, or violence. As Christians, if it were not for the faithfulness of God to keep His promises, we might be cowering in fear over the future of our children. But we know that we are faithful as parents, as He, our Heavenly Father, is faithful. And so He will keep our children in the hollow of His hand, and they will grow up to be valiant soldiers of Jesus Christ. And so, the Lord is faithful. That was Paul's conclusion as he comes almost to the end of the 2 Thessalonians. And so, just 4 points this morning that I want us to consider. First of all, He is faithful to assure our salvation. The Bible gives us a full and complete record of God's faithfulness. And it would take all the time and more today if I read all the scriptures in the Bible relating to the faithfulness of God. But Psalm 36:5 said, "Your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds." And so this speaks about the infinitude of God's faithfulness. It reaches to the clouds. It's beyond our reach. God is faithful. And as we read through the Bible, we find God's covenants that He made with men, the covenant with David. And in Psalm 89, verse 33, it says, "Nevertheless, my loving kindness I will not utterly take from him." That means from David and his descendants. "Nor allow my faithfulness to fail. My covenant I will not break, nor alter the word that has gone out of my lips." And so that was God's covenant with David. His faithfulness will guarantee that that covenant will endure. And one day it is going to be completed when Jesus Christ comes in the clouds of glory, when He touches down His feet there in Jerusalem, and He sits on His throne there in Jerusalem for the millennial reign. Jesus Christ is our King. Then we find God's covenant with Abraham. When God predicts that He will cause a son to be born to a husband and wife who are nearly 100 years old, more than just the power of God is in question. His credibility is at stake. Is His word reliable? Is He trustworthy? When that promise was made to Abraham, he literally fell on his face and laughed because he couldn't believe it. Abraham had not yet fully come to believe that God's word could be trusted, and neither had Sarah, his wife. When she heard the same promise, she too laughed, recorded in Genesis 18 and 12. We don't know specifically when it happened, but at some point in Abraham and Sarah's life, they became convinced that God would do exactly what he had promised. And so, in the case of Abraham, Romans chapter 4, verses 19 through 21, and not being weak in faith, speaking of Abraham, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And then Sarah, in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 11, it says, by faith Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. And so because of these promises of God in his faithfulness to David and to Abraham and to Sarah and to their descendants after them, and we see today the nation of Jerusalem, the nation of Israel over in the Middle East, that by all rights should have ceased to exist long ago. But God in his word is faithful, and he will keep his word. He will keep his covenant with Abraham, and one day Jesus will reign as Son of David there, King of kings and Lord of lords. The faith of Abraham and Sarah was not misguided. Genesis chapter 21, verses 1 and 2 says, and the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. It happened just exactly as God said it would, and when he said it would. God is truly faithful. And I hope as we gather here today as children of God, as Christians, members of this family of believers, that we also have learned, as Abraham and Sarah learned, that God truly is faithful. The reason we need the faithfulness of God is because our lost condition. We are lost. Lost. What a terrible word that is. When a child is lost, frantic parents seek to find that child. One of the vivid memories of my childhood was one of our neighbors lived about 2 or 3 miles down the road from us. Their son Tom, he was in my grade in school. Tom was full of mischief all the days of his life. Probably still, if he's still living. But anyway, one day Tom disappeared. And they had the whole community looking for Tom. His parents were frantic. They couldn't imagine what had happened to Tom. And so they were going in all the ponds and all the cisterns and all the wells and looking for Tom. Finally, late that evening, someone went to the garage to get a rope. And guess what? There was Tom hiding in a barrel. Just out of mischief. But he was lost. And his parents were frantic. But imagine our Heavenly Father. This is no joke. Every person born into this world is born a sinner. And because we are sinners, we're separated from God, we are lost. Jesus made this vividly clear in the Gospels. Perhaps one of the most famous and most loved chapters of the Bible is Luke chapter 15. And there we have, some say, three parables. The lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. But there are others who say that this is all one parable in three stages. Whichever. Jesus is teaching about our lost condition. The lost sheep, the shepherd, went out to find his lost sheep. He left the 99 behind to find that one lost sheep. Then there's the lost coin. The woman who has lost her coin, part of her dowry. And she desperately looks for it because it's lost. And then there is the story of the lost son. We call it the prodigal son, who, because of his own sin and rebellion, he left home, left his father, left everything that was good and valuable to go out and live a life of sin. But finally, he came back seeking the Father. A lost sheep, a lost coin, a lost son. And every single one of us, at one time or another, were lost. In Luke chapter 19, Jesus tells another story. The story of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a rich publican, a tax collector, hated by the Jews. But he was lost. And one day Jesus passed that way in the city of Jericho, and Zacchaeus wanted to see this man that he heard so much about. And so he climbed up in a tree, and as Jesus passed by, he said, "Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to your house today." And Jesus closed out that story in verses 9 and 10 of Luke 19, where he says, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is the son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." We are lost. And because of that, we need God's faithful love to reach down and save us by His grace. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. An example of God's faithfulness. Paul said to the Corinthians, and you'll remember that the Corinthian church was, of all the churches and epistles that Paul established and wrote epistles to, this was the most troublesome. They had the most problems. And yet Paul wrote this to them, "So that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of Jesus, of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord." Paul says to the Corinthians, God is faithful. And God is going to, even until the time when Jesus Christ comes again, He's going to be faithful to confirm you, to save you, to make sure that you enter into the kingdom of God. Then in the letter, first letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. He said, "Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it." Thank God for His call. God through His Word, God through His church, God through His Holy Spirit, God through circumstances in our lives is calling us and drawing us to Him so that we might know Him as our personal Savior, that through Jesus Christ we might receive eternal life. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. And so I know that every family here, we have family members, perhaps children, friends and neighbors who do not know the Lord. And we need to pray that God will call them, that He will be faithful to bring salvation to their hearts and lives. Point number two, He is faithful to forgive our sins. We're lost. The reason we're lost is because of our sin. The very familiar verse that we use so often, Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." We're all in the same boat. We're sinners. Even with all of the promises that God gives us for victory in our Christian lives, we Christians still sin. 1 John 1:8 says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." But that is where the faithfulness of God enters in, because in the next verse, 1 John 1:9, he says, "If we confess our sins," if we agree with God on the fact of our sin and our rebellion, "He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." He is faithful. God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In that verse, our sins are viewed both as a debt that needs to be forgiven and as a stain that needs to be cleansed. We can enjoy blessing in both these circumstances when we acknowledge our sins to God, when we agree with Him that they are vile and repulsive, an offense to His holy nature. Faithful means you can depend on, trust on in what God has said. J. Green's literal translation of 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous, that He may forgive us our sins and may cleanse us from all unrighteousness." God forgives us today, you and I, here as Christians. We stand forgiven because of two reasons, two aspects. Number one, His righteousness or His justice. He has already punished our sin in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us on the cross, who bore our sins on Calvary. And therefore, God is righteous. God is just. And because Jesus has already paid it all to Him I owe. Therefore, today, I stand before God, forgiven, cleansed. But the second reason is God's faithfulness. When God looked ahead to Israel's new covenant nearly 600 years before Christ, He said in Jeremiah 31 and 34, "For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more." God keeps His word. He is faithful. And so today we share in the benefits of that new covenant that was established through the death of Jesus on the cross. Despite all of our sin, God says He will forgive us. And He is always faithful to keep His word. Point number three, God is faithful to provide us our victory. God wants us to win the victory over sin. And frankly, it's a battle that all of us fight every day. If we'll be honest, it's a battle that every single one of us fight every day. But God has not left us on our own to achieve that victory. One of the great verses in the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but will with the temptation also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. The word temptation and the word trial is the same in the Greek and in the Hebrew too. The word temptation can refer either to a trial from God, who seeks to purify and strengthen us through the trials that we go through, or it can refer to a seduction to sin from Satan, who seeks to destroy us, who seeks to cause us to fall and to fail in our Christian witness. In either case, God promises to protect us from more than we can bear and to provide with every temptation or testing a way of escape. His faithfulness guarantees it. In our scripture today, a similar promise is made to the Thessalonian Christians in chapter 3, verse 3. He said, "But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one." We often prayed for a hedge of protection around a church or an individual or a family. And I think that's theologically correct, because Paul said the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. The devil is real. The devil, we're no match for the devil. So we need to know that God is on our side, and that God has made that escape route. Some have said this word in the Greek refers to a passageway for an army that becomes trapped by the enemy. But there is this passageway that they can use, that passageway to escape and to get out of the clutches of the enemy army. At any rate, God has promised, and His word is true and faithful, that when we are facing the temptations, whether they're trials from God or seductive temptations from Satan, that God will make a way of escape. In John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, Christian and Hopeful fall asleep in a field belonging to the giant Despair. The giant finds them and takes them into Doubting Castle, where he puts them in a dark and stinking dungeon without food or water. On his wife's advice, the giant first beats them mercilessly and then suggests that they commit suicide. After the giant leaves, the two companions discuss what they should do. Finally, Christian remembers the key in his pocket. "I have a key in my bosom called promise that will, I am persuaded, open my lock, open any lock in Doubting Castle." Sure enough, the key opened all the doors in the castle and even the gate. Then they went on and came to the king's highway again. God has given each of us a key. He's given us myriads of promises in His word. And those promises, if we will take hold of them, if we will apply them, if we will believe them, they will become the key that will unlock the door where Satan is attacking us. And let us escape by the grace and mercy of God. So let us remember that God is faithful. He has given us the key to victory, to overcome every trial and temptation we may face. Last point. He is faithful to sustain us through suffering. One of the times we are most tempted to doubt God's faithfulness is when suffering strikes our lives. Sometimes it comes in the form of physical pain that can seem almost overwhelming. Sometimes it comes in emotional pain after the loss of a loved one or some other great tragedy that happens in our lives. Like Job, we may be bewildered and ask God, why? In circumstances like these, we begin to think that God has forgotten us or that He really doesn't care about us. The people of Jerusalem in Isaiah's day were beginning to think that way. Judah was a tiny nation surrounded by giant powers that were continually threatening her. Listening to the complaint of the citizens of Judah. Isaiah 49:14. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me, and my Lord has forgotten me. How often does that happen to us? When we feel overwhelmed by circumstances, by problems, by pain. But the Lord was always right there. And He had words of encouragement for this little country of Judah. In Isaiah 49:15-16. He said, can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. And the illustration, the metaphor that Isaiah uses here is, can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? And he goes on to imply that certainly it is possible that there are women who have neglected their children, who have not been faithful as a mother. So Isaiah says, surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. Yes, God had allowed them to suffer, but He would never forget them in their suffering because He is faithful, and He does not forget us. He really does care. And so I hope and pray that all of us will be encouraged and challenged to take hold of the faithfulness of God and know that He will never leave us nor forsake us. I'd hope that Miss Neithi would be here today. She had Bill and Gloria Gaither wrote the words to the song, Because He Lives. It's a beautiful gospel song. But the third verse of that song, and this Miss Neithi wanted it included in the bulletin or in some way. So Miss Neithi, if you hear this, it's in the sermon. Third verse says, how sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy He brings. But greater still, the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days because He lives. Then the chorus says, because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future. And life is worth the living. Just because He lives. Today, we believe in and serve a faithful God. And He died on the cross for us that we might receive eternal life. And He was buried and He rose again the third day by the power of God. That today we might say with all of our hearts, God is faithful because He lives. He lives in my heart. He lives reigning at the right hand of the Father in heaven. So in conclusion, How can we appropriate this great doctrine of God's faithfulness and enjoy calmness and contentment when hard times come? And believe me, hard times will come. Difficult times will come. Painful times will come. How are we going to face those times? Well, Peter suggested an answer in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 19. He says, "So if you are suffering according to God's will, keep on doing what is right and trust yourself to the God who made you, for he will never fail you." Let me read that again. So if you are suffering according to God's will, keep on doing what is right and trust yourself to the God who made you, for he will never fail you. I pray that that can be the prayer of each and every one of us. God is faithful. As Richard comes, Richard, what number are we going to sing? I caught him off guard. So would you stand while he's getting organized back there? And I want to let's have a word of prayer and ask God's blessing on each person here. And if God is speaking to your heart and you have a need and a need to come forward to trust Jesus as your Savior, a need to come and get in the altar and surrender and accept once more the faithfulness of God in your life. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we do know with full assurance that you are a faithful God. Despite all the evil that we see around us every day, all the evil in this world, and yet we still know that you're faithful and that you have promised in your word to be with us, to never leave us or forsake us. And so I pray that you would help every person here to take hold of, to grasp all your promises, that you are faithful and that we have the key to overcome, to win the victory through Jesus. In his name I pray. Amen.
We'll be singing number 410, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus," number 410.
Perhaps you remember the day when you trusted Jesus, or perhaps you would like to make today the day when you will trust Jesus. We invite you to come.